You know, it's officially summer. That happened 5 days ago. How many of you knew that happened 5 days ago? And there's one thing that, you know, we can predict during our summertime anyway. We're going to have to endure some heat. Right? You know, this morning, I guess the title, if, you know, everybody's always wanting a title. Sometimes I give you one, sometimes I don't. But it's called Until Your Harvest Comes. I guess they have to have that for the CD or whatever. But, you know, and I want to look at this scripture here in Genesis 8. And there's a threefold promise that God gave. And we need to look at that. Genesis 8, start with verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and a burnt offering, offered a burnt offering on the altar. The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now this is after the flood, which everything had been destroyed on the face of the earth except the eight people that was in the ark. And two of every kind of the animal that was in the ark. Now Noah is making a sacrifice to the Lord. And God gave a promise here. He promised never again to curse the ground, the earth. He promised that he would never again destroy all humanity. And he promised, he said, there would be times and seasons of the year would continue. Isn't that what he said? So, you know, some people are concerned about climate change, and I guess we should be some concerned. But the Lord said, as long as, he said here, as long as the earth remained, that he would never curse the ground again. He said, let's read that again. I think you need to get it again. He said, I will never curse the ground again for man's sake. And he also said that he wouldn't destroy every living creature. And he also said that summer and winter and seed time and harvest would all be here. But, you know, as long as the earth is here, we're going to have seasons. And if you study the end time, the earth is going to be here until Jesus returns the second time. Not when he comes to take the church away. That's called the catching away. But when he comes to the earth, then he said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So that means the earth is going to exist till then, according to the word of God. All right. Summer, fall, spring, winter, it all is here. You know, there'll be times of cold and times of hot, and some of us that have lived long enough to know, you know, that we would go through seasons when it'd be unusually hot for a long period of time, and then it'd be cool, and you know, to me, it's about the same as it's always been. How many of you that are more mature? It's about the same as it's always been. You know, there'll be different seasons of things. You know, when a farmer plants a field, he recognizes that there's a process of sowing and reaping. Everything doesn't happen overnight. You know, he usually knows that between sowing and harvest time, there is a period of time. You know, we need to realize sometimes when we begin to believe God for some things, there is a time that we have to stand and believe God between the time that we ask and the time that we receive. Now, what do you do during that period? Well, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. There are several different times that it talks about in the Word of God that talks about season. In Psalms it says, you'll be blessed in due season, in your season. You know, you can't expect to get one crop when it's not the season for that. You know, different things grow at different times. How many of you realize that? You know, and how many of you have planted a garden this spring? How many of you are having to wait till it's the season for whatever you planted to come in? Hello? See, it won't be very long tomatoes will start coming in. Am I right or wrong? Oh, they're already coming in? Okay. I knew it was about this time that that big old tomatoes. I like them great big old tomatoes, you know. When what are they called? Yeah. I think they're called Big Toms or something like that. Anyway, it's so big it fits on, you know, it fits the whole, takes up the whole, you don't have to use two or three. You can just use one. How many know what I'm talking about? See? But in Galatians 6:9 in the NLT, it says, so let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Now, the time between seed time and harvest, you don't go in and sit down in your easy chair and do nothing. There's a lot of people that want to believe God for something and then they don't do anything. The farmer has to realize that he has to go out and he has to do something, because things will come along to try to destroy his crop. What we got to realize is that things will come along that will try to destroy us from receiving our blessing from God. You know, we have to persevere. Now, that is not an exciting time. It's not an exciting time during while you're waiting for the harvest to come in. It's not an exciting time while you're waiting for the blessing to come in, but it's a necessary time, and there are things that have to be done. You know, if it's a crop, you have to continue to cultivate and spray herbicides. And in some places, you got to irrigate. You got to do irrigation. You know, around here in the summertime, if you don't have any water, stuff sort of dries up and burns up, you know. But what the person that planted does during the time from planting to harvest, or from believing to receiving, what is done during that time, the harvest depends on that. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, if you don't get a good harvest, you're going to have to do some work. If you're not going to get a very good harvest, then you go sit in your easy chair and whistle Dixie, you know, or whatever, or whistle Yankee Doodle or whatever. I don't know. Whatever you want to whistle. You know. You know. You have to, you know, how many of you, when you started your job, they told you that there were certain things that was in the future for you? Anybody ever had that done? Yeah. Well, until some of those things occur, you have to consistently show up for work. You have to maintain right attitudes. You got to, sometimes you have to do more education, you know, and so we have to determine that we will not quit, but that we will do the necessary things until the season comes. You know, some people fuss about the fact that they think their harvest is late. Did you ever notice that winter comes at the right time. Summer always comes after spring, fall after summer, In the same way, you don't have to worry about the harvest if you do what you're supposed to do from the time you plant the seed or you believe God till it's harvest time. There will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. You know, now all this would be a whole lot easier if there wasn't this time between the believing and the receiving. Or wouldn't it be great if you could go out there and plant some tomatoes or okra and go, you plant it today and go out tomorrow and there it is. Boy, it'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? But it don't happen that way, does it? Do you understand that in the Word of God, we can believe God for things, but it does, some of the things just doesn't happen immediately? It's what you do between those times is what you know, that's why some people get a bigger harvest than other people do, because they're more diligent to do what's necessary instead of fussing and fretting about what's going on. They just continue to believe God and continue to do what is necessary. You know, you can rest assured, you plant a seed and you take care of that seed, it's going to grow. You don't take care of it properly, it may grow, but it don't grow very good. Hello. You know, we had an old pear tree in our backyard down at 400 South 3rd in Garland when I was growing up. And that old pear tree, there's an ice storm, and half of it broke off, and it was out there. And my grandma told me, said, "Son, we're going to lose that tree if you don't go out there." And she told me what to do, and I did some things there, you know. But that tree was the ugliest looking tree you ever seen, because it was like a half of a tree, because it had been broke off. But I did the thing grandma told me to do, and you know what? That old thing, it would bear a bunch of pears just on that one side. Because she would tell me what to do. Every spring I would go out there and I would work around that old pear tree. And then sometimes we have so many pears on that thing bent over like this. You know, she said, "Prop it up so it don't break." But actually, if we haven't taken care and did what we're supposed to do to feed that tree properly and take care of it, we wouldn't have got any pears. That's the same thing that you have to do when you believe God for something. You have to continue to say it and keep saying it, keep believing it. You know, like I said, boy, it'd be a lot easier if we didn't have to go through all this. But some people quit when there's a struggle. They quit whenever something hits them. You know, my grandpa used to raise that cotton down there, and just because the boll weevil come around, he didn't go in the house and say, "Well, we might as well forget it. The boll weevils will come." No, he got out there and did something about the boll weevil, so that he would get a cotton crop. You know, when the enemy comes in with all of his junk trying to keep you from getting the harvest, you can't throw up your hands. "Oh, I thought God's going." No, you got to stay in there and work with it. I mean, if he hadn't got out there and did the thing that was necessary to kill those boll weevils out of there, he wouldn't have got any cotton at all. How many here know something about farming? Well, I know Marvin does, because he come from the Amish. I know he, and I know Tony does, because he was on the farm. But Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed are the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes." Well, the heat doesn't necessarily mean hot. It means all of the things that come against you to try to stop your blessing, try to stop your harvest. But its leaf will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will it cease yielding fruit. Some people stop trusting God when they get in a bad time. Hello? That's when you got to keep, that's when you got to dig in deep. Dig your heels in. You know, how many ever been in a tug of war on a rope? Got some guys on one end. I mean, man, I tell you what, that guy, you got an anchor back there, and he better dig in. He better dig in big and hold on tight. You see, the enemy will come in. He'll try to pull you away. Pull you out of what you said, what you're believing for, according to the word of God. Anybody understand what I'm saying? So none of y'all ever had that problem, huh? You always just say, "Okay, Lord, thank you for it," and there it is. Huh? Or did you have to go through this period between the seed planting or the believing and the harvest? Yeah. That depends on what kind of harvest you're going to get. You know, you know, some people stop trusting God during this period because all of a sudden they hit a tough time. You know, putting trust in God, that's like a tree that's planted by the water. You can start driving west, going out of Interstate 40, going out across there, and you get out there in that desert area, and there's nothing out there. And then all of a sudden, off in the distance, you'll see a whole row of green trees out there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you get there, you find that there's a stream of water, because those trees are putting their roots down into that, where that soil, into that water, and they're staying green while everything else out here is brown and nothing there. That's what we have to do. We have to stay by the word. I don't care when the heat comes, we're still flourishing green. It said when here it says, "Be like a tree planted by the water, spread to the river, and when the heat comes, its leaf will be green." When you put your roots down in the word of God, when the heat comes, you stay good. Hello. You know, just stay hooked up. We need to resist fear. That's one of the things that the enemy throws at you to try to get your harvest is fear. You don't need to fear when these things come. Resist it. Because fear and faith don't operate together. They're opposites. You ever taken, you know, two magnets and the polar, and they reject one another, right? But then the other one, you can connect them, right? See, fear and faith, they reject, they don't work together. But faith and love does. Keep your faith and love God. You know, some people are always afraid of what might happen. "Oh, you can't ever tell what happened, Brother Hagin." Well, I can tell you what's going to happen. You can't? Yeah. What the word of God says, that's what's going to happen right here. What this Bible says, that's what's going to happen. Oh. Right there, I can tell you they ain't got no faith. They're just marking time, walking through life, living on barely get along street. Shoes wore out. Hello? Don't look, sit there and look at me. That's the truth. When you believe what this word says, you get up and act like it's so, and then you live in the harvest. I don't care what's happening. You still act like the word's so. You still claim that the word's so. I had a person say to me not very long ago, oh, man, I've been a couple years now. I don't know. Time passes fast. Man, I see you in the healing line. You're praying for people. And a lot of people don't get healed. Doesn't that bother you? I said, well, it bothers me. They don't get healed, all right. But it doesn't keep me from continuing to pray for people. I said, well, it should. I said, why? Well, they're not getting healed. I said, that's not my fault. And it's not God's fault. Come on now. Don't shut down on me. I told her, I said, I preached a lot of sermons and I've given an altar call for people to come get saved. And they didn't come get saved. And I'm not going to quit giving altar calls just because everybody in the house that need to get saved didn't get saved. Oh, well, that's different. No, it's not. See, it's somebody trying to make an excuse because of why they didn't get a harvest. Make an excuse because they didn't do the necessary things that was necessary to get a harvest. That'd be like, this one farmer, he's doing everything, that he's supposed to do, and he gets a crop, and this other guy over here on the next farm, he doesn't get it. He gets a little bit, but he doesn't get very much. But while this guy was out here taking care of the necessary things, he wasn't doing it. Oh, well, it's no use. We're not going to get a good crop this year anyway, so ain't no use going out there and trying to take care of it. But this guy over here, he said, hey, I'm going to do everything I can. And that's the difference. See, that's why some people say, well, I don't understand. Look at this guy, he's getting his blessing. This guy not getting it. But, well, look at what they're doing in the in-between times. Come on now. Some of you looking at me. Corey Ten Boone said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Now somebody said, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, we do. God's in charge and it's going to happen like he said it would happen. That's what's going to happen. See, focus on the promises of God and not on the what ifs. You start believing God, you start talking about the promises of God, and somebody says, yeah, but what about this? And what about that? And what if this? And what if that? Quit focusing on that. Focus on what the Bible said. I've seen people come up to my dad, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? He said, I don't think nothing about it. What? No. I know what the Bible said. And what the Bible says is what I'm standing on. I'm not standing on what I think. What do you think about what so-and-so said? Some preacher said something. Somebody asked me that the other day. What do you think about that? And I said, I don't think nothing about it. Why? Because I'm going with the Bible. I don't care what they say. See? All the time people are saying, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. Well, if it's not in line with the Bible, I don't care who said it. Apostle Paul said, if somebody comes talking another gospel beside this, don't pay any attention to it. That's the way we'd say it in 2017. Isn't that what he said in the word? Somebody said, well, but you don't know prophet so-and-so said. I don't care what prophet so-and-so said. If it's not what the Bible said, it ain't right. Oh, I'm sorry. It isn't right. I come from Texas. We say I ain't in Texas. We can use our faith to get through the troubled times so that we get the harvest. You know. Now, many people get to a point, they're believing God, but they're not seeing the results that they want, and they fall into the devil's trap. He tell them, now, you know, you're the only one with this kind of trouble. Hey, you need to realize that this is completely different, so don't even think you're going to get out of it. Evidently, some people been there. Anybody been there? But 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you. Don't think it strange. The enemy comes to us all. I don't care who we are. I don't care what our name is. I don't care what our reputation is. The enemy comes to all of us to destroy us from getting our harvest. In difficult times, that's when it really shows whether you're a believer or not. Or just a mental agreeer that said some words. Whoa. I could have talked all day and not said that. But it's the truth. There are a lot of people that agree mentally and will say the words, but when push comes to shove, they don't make it. You know. David let the giant blab all he wanted to. And then he started running toward the giant, swinging his sling, saying, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord Jehovah God. You know, I mean, all of us guys that have played athletics, you got guys over there, they talking junk, you know. And somebody said, you know, one time one of my teammates said, Hagin so-and-so is saying that he gonna beat you and so forth and so on. And I said, what do you got to say about it? Nothing. What? You're not going to respond? I said, I'll respond on the field. When I walked off with my head high and his is hanging. He mouthed off, but he couldn't produce. The devil, hey, this is what you need. The devil mouths off, but he can't produce, but God can. Amen. The enemy will try to condemn you. He'll try to say, well, if you was a better Christian, there's no such thing as being a better Christian. There's not. You only can be washed in the blood one time. Hello. Now, you can read the Bible more. You can pray more and do all that. But that being a Christian means believing on and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can receive more of God through reading the word and prayer and going to church and so forth. But that doesn't make you a better Christian. This makes you living in line with God's word. Come on, how many understand what I'm saying there? You understand that? You know, the enemy always say, well, now look over there at your buddy. Look at so-and-so. They never have any problems. Yes, they do. You just don't know it. Because they're not talking about the problem. They're talking about the solution. And you talking about, oh, man, it's a bad day, blah, 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 blah. And see, they're not having any problems. Yeah, they're having them, but they're talking the word. They're saying, yeah, hey, this is a great day, man. God's good. God is good. His word is working in my life, you know. Come on. See, the enemy wants us to go under. You know, Isaac found himself in a in a famine period, in a period of drought, and in Genesis 26, and there's a famine in the land, and he was going to leave and go out of the land, and the Lord told him, don't go down there, don't go to Egypt, stay here, and I'll bless you here. Well, that don't sound feasible. Stay where it's dry and dirty and dusty and the drought going on, when he go right over here and look at all, it's all green, everything's beautiful. But he decided to trust God. And he trusted God. And it said that the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Simply because he did what God told him to do. I want you to notice, he began and continued. See, we need to begin trusting God and continue trusting God, and then the harvest will come. You know, sometimes people lose their confidence and they quit saying what God said. Hebrews 10:35, right? Remember, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We have to endure the season between the believing and the receiving. There's a time of perseverance. That's a time of saying, okay, God, I believe you and I'm going to stay with you. Whatever comes, whatever goes, whether it happens or whether it doesn't happen, I am going to stay believing you, standing on the word until I receive my blessing. Or harvest, however you want to call it. Come on now. Now, sometimes people pray about things and they get concerned because it's not happening. But remember, sometimes when you pray about some things, God has to work on some other people and work some other things out before he can bring that blessing to you. Let me understand what I'm talking to you about. Hello. So keep standing. You know, I've told a story before. I mean, we tried, that whole family, we tried with Dad. We didn't have no food in the trailer, and we believed in God. Finally, a guy showed up with some food, and he said, well, the Lord been dealing with me 3 days to bring y'all food. I knew you didn't need it, but it got so bad today, I just went and got your whole pickup load full of food. Dad never did tell him that we believe in God. He just said, well, praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. Amen. Come on. You see, I'm not telling you something I haven't lived through in my own self. I've been there. I know what it is to stand your ground, but I know how great it is when the victory comes. Just keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah, during times when you don't see the answer coming, don't give up on God. Don't give up on what the God says. In 1 John 15, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears. If we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked him for. That's like the farmer. He knows when he plants that crop and he takes care of it properly and does what needs to be done. And if it doesn't rain, he irrigates it. He's going to get a harvest. And it's the same with us. When we ask God for something and we believe him for it and we continue to believe God and stand our ground in the face of all opposition, we will receive our harvest. How many of you been there, done that? Let me see you hand wave at me. We all have. See, let me close this thing down. Here's some steps. If you want, a lot of people like to have something, so you can write this down. Step number one, make sure you're trusting in the promises of God and not just what somebody else said. Doesn't make any difference what somebody else said. What did the word say? Step two, refuse to be afraid of any trouble that shows up. Step three, keep on doing what you know to do. And step number four, don't cast away your confidence. Just keep on keeping on. Everybody stand. We're going to make a confession. You ready to make a confession? I will make it through the heat. I will endure till the harvest comes. I will hold on to my confidence. My harvest is on the way. The devil can't stop it. Nobody can stop it. Because God said it. And if God said it, it's going to happen. Now thank God for it. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Thank you that it's done. Our harvest is on the way. We're going to receive. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God, praise God. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. If you're in this place today and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want you to do so before you leave here today. If you happen to be here and you know what it is to walk with God, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray with you and I'll pray for you. Anybody in here, anywhere, anybody, anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs, wherever you're at. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you right now that if there be one person under the sound of my voice that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will be with them until they stop and accept you. I thank you for it. For you that are watching, if you need Christ or you need to rededicate your life, I want you to pray this prayer with us right now. Pray this prayer with us right now. Just reach your hand out toward that screen and pray this prayer with myself and this congregation. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. The Word of God says that if I would confess Him as my Savior and Lord, that I would be saved. I confess Him as Savior and Lord with my mouth. I believe in my heart. And I thank you now that I'm a new person in Christ. Amen and amen. I felt very strongly to do that today. If you prayed that prayer with us in rededication or for the first time, if you would go to your computer and go to partnerservices@rhema.org and let us know about it, because we want to know about it. We want to send you a letter. All right. Praise God. Thank God. Thank you. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Remember, there is a time between the believing and the receiving. Hello? Thank God for those instant ones, but do you realize that's very few and far between? How many of you realize that's very few and far between? Amen. I've gotten some instant returns, but the majority of the return I've got, there has been an enduring time between believing and receiving. Anybody with me? Oh, yeah, I got most of the crowd. Well, got some people with two hands up. Praise the Lord.